You are listening to Business Day Spotlight.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners right here. This is the Business Day Spotlight podcast. And for today, we are talking a little bit around something that we've spoken a lot about in the last couple of months and weeks. That's the issue of cryptocurrencies, the blockchain, and digital currencies. And today, I'm joined by Rory Mapstone, who is the founder of EOS South Africa. They are a local developer of blockchain applications that's actually launched what the company says is the country's first digital currency that holds stable value. They actually have a coin called Eza, which is a digital coin that's pegged to the South African rand. So in other words, we're saying that one Eza coin or token, whichever words you want to use, will always be worth one rand. And in a market where you see the value of Bitcoin, for example, fluctuating, doubling in value, halving in value, and the like, it's stable coins have become quite an interesting talking point, particularly in June when Facebook decided to make an announcement about its own digital currency, Libra, especially, that has put a big spotlight on that particular aspect of the digital currency game. So, as I said, we're on the line with Rory, how are you?
Hi, my dear. No, very well, thank you.
Rory, as we said, you are the founder of EOS South Africa. What do you guys actually do, and what was the rationale in coming up with your own stablecoin?
My dear, we're a block producer on the Telos blockchain. For people that aren't really aware of all these millions of blockchains, Telos is a EOS-based blockchain that's got additional features like on-chain governance and that sort of stuff. But probably the most exciting thing about it is that with half a second block times and thousands of transactions a second, it really allows us to do real-world applications on the blockchain. It's important that when users use blockchain, that they end up with stuff that's responsive and is what they would expect in everyday life. You know, with things like Bitcoin and that, we sat with 10-minute confirmation times on transactions. So, you know, this is one of the first blockchains that really allows us to do real-world applications at a level that customers or users would expect.
Oh, I see. And what other applications have you actually developed on this particular blockchain?
Well, the first application we did was a wallet app, just so that people could access tokens and manage them on their smartphone. You know, when we started this, there was really nothing available on the Telos blockchain for mobile users. And there are since a number of wallets that have been launched, but we one of those wallets that is available for Telos and EOS, actually. So it's two blockchains we support.
Oh, I see. So in terms of coming up with Eza, what made you say, okay, fine, we need to come up with an actual coin, simply because you already have some of these wallets and making applications? Surely there must be a bit of a jump from creating a mobile wallet to having a fully fledged digital currency.
Yeah, I mean, basically, we started this company about 18 months ago and ended up the Telos blockchain launched in December last year. But it's built on software that's had been around for sort of the previous 6 months or so. The EOS blockchain launched on the same software. And before that, I was engaged in sort of developing with pre-releases of the software. I've always sort of been interested in blockchain and the opportunities that it opens up. And, you know, you have grand ideas of supply chain management and all of these sort of things. But when you start working with it, you realize that there's sort of basic needs that it's or a basic foundation that needs to be laid before we can start doing all sorts of cool stuff. And to us, the first one was to have a mobile wallet so that people could use the stuff every day. And it also forms a foundation for any other applications that we would want to build. And then the second thing is, you know, if you ask why we did a stable coin on the Rand. So yeah, if we think about users making use of cryptocurrency in their daily lives, we all know that Bitcoin can vary by 10 or 15% a day, which doesn't work if I want to buy a cup of coffee or something like that. And that really is the genesis of stable coins. You know, they were introduced into cryptocurrency so that people could move out of Bitcoin into, for example, US dollar when the price was going down, or you had some stable asset on the blockchain that was didn't force you to trade out and sort of convert it to Rand or dollars and back again. And yeah, I mean, basically in South Africa, the Rand is our medium of exchange. People are expecting to buy and sell using Rand. So, you know, if we want to use digital currency in our daily lives, we need a Rand stable coin. So we took the view that this was the foundation that needed to be in place for us to build any other projects on crypto.
Now, the question that I think might be on our listeners' minds, and it's certainly on my mind, is how do you actually ensure that one token of ETH is equal to one Rand? Like, what is the actual mechanism that is making sure that your tokens, your coins, maintain that stable value?
Yeah, basically, when you buy an ESAR, you pay us in Rand, and we hold that in trust. So we're always able to redeem those or buy back those ESAR when the customer wants to redeem them. So yeah, I mean, we basically retain a full backing for all the ESAR that are issued. And, you know, it's pretty simple to audit because the total circulation of ESAR is available for everyone to read on the blockchain. And we just need to reconcile that against the funds that we have in trust.
Okay, so in a basic sense, if I'm understanding you correctly, you are doing sort of like a Rand to digital currency exchange. To literally say, this one Rand, I want one token. You hold on to my Rand, and with your token, I'm able to go and transact digitally.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And you know, the reason you would do that is once you've got those tokens on Telos, transaction fees are zero. It's almost instant. So, you know, it almost appears like if you can think of a banknote in your wallet, it's a digital version of that.
Because the other thing is the fact that I've just seen that you guys say that ESAR is also globally exchangeable. So how does that mechanism work? Are we now saying that whatever price is set at in US dollars, in British pounds, you just take into consideration whatever the prevailing exchange rate is and then apply that to the ESAR?
Yeah, we don't actually get involved directly in that. But the blockchain is an international network. So, you know, once you have an ESAR, whether you're here or whether you're in Canada or Argentina, it doesn't matter. It's just you're connected to the blockchain, and that ESAR is in your wallet on your phone. So that's the international angle of it. It does open opportunities to exchange it for other crypto assets on the blockchain. And, you know, there are various exchange mechanisms from a traditional crypto exchange to algorithms like Bancor, which will do a token swap for you. So the price will just be set by the market when we talk about crypto assets. But at a redemption point, it's always R1.
Okay. Now, I think I understand what you're saying. So we are on the line with Rory Mapstone, who is the founder of EOS South Africa. They are a local developer of blockchain applications, and they have recently launched a digital coin called Eza that is pegged one-to-one with the Rand. We're just going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back after this.
The cryptocurrency revolution is a rabbit hole that goes deeper than just Bitcoin and blockchain. South Africa's revolutionary cryptocurrency investment platform, Revix, presents Beyond Bitcoin, your guide to the crypto future. Unpack the news, trends, and terminology live every Monday on The Gareth Cliff Show on cliffcentral.com. You can also download every episode on the Cliff Central app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. This is Business Day Spotlight. We are on the line with the founder of EOS ZA, Rory Mapstone, letting us know about a new cryptocurrency that they recently launched. They are a developer of blockchain applications. And just before the break, he was telling us about how their coin is actually a physical currency to digital currency exchange. You pay them R1. They give you one token, and then they hold your currency in trust so that they can easily redeem it back into physical currency if and when they need to do such a thing. Now, Rory, I just wanted to perhaps get your thoughts around perhaps some of the challenges in the business model, and perhaps find out why others have not done it the way that you have.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's an emerging trend. The US dollar stablecoin was, we can say, invented about 4 or 5 years ago with USD Tether. And, you know, that formed, it's formed the backbone of much of the crypto industry. But really that was used to transfer value between exchanges and that sort of stuff. It was based on protocols that were simply too slow to do transactional or to use in transactional applications. And then, you know, sort of copycat stuff has come up on faster blockchains, also US dollar, euro-based stuff, British pound-based stuff. But even there with, you know, that sort of stuff was running on the Ethereum blockchain, which is still really too slow for transactional stuff. It takes minutes to complete a transaction, which doesn't work. And it's really with the advent of EOSIO, which is the software that we're running our blockchain on, that sort of 1 second transactions became a reality. And also, I mean, the other important thing is if we look at things like Ethereum and Bitcoin, we're limited to less than 15 transactions a second there. So that can't handle the sort of load that we need to do if we're going to put hundreds of thousands of people on this blockchain. The current record is about 90 million transactions in a day. So that's sort of 6,000 transactions a second. 90. Yeah, so I mean, as you can see, it's sort of, it's real world stuff that you can start applying to business. And then also, I mean, the other thing that was really an obstacle to crypto is if we look at some of the early generation blockchains had transaction fees, and the fees were determined by net or governed by network load. So the peak in 2017 when Bitcoin hit whatever it was, 300,000 rand a coin or something, it would have cost you sort of $40 to do a transaction. And you can't be paying a $40 transaction fee if you want to buy a loaf of bread. It's not going to work. So the, you know, these were the obvious things that were in the way that prevented adoption. So a lot of those obstacles have gone now, let's say in the last year. And it takes time for people to build apps and sort of, you know, the technology foundation can exist, but we also need the tooling and that for people to be able to use this and for it to be simple. I mean, that's the other difficult thing with blockchain is it is complicated.
So with all of that in mind, what you're talking about, the transaction cost, the number of transactions, bringing it down from the $40 you've just said and just making it, I guess, more comparable with the mainstream sort of payment systems that people are typically used to. How do you guys then make a sustainable business model from people's trading on the platform?
Yeah, basically there are fees associated with deposits and redemption. And the model, because we're selling the tokens, we basically hold the funds and we receive interest from those funds that we hold as well. So it's a combination of that and then other services that we build on top of this this platform. So everything else that we build on top of this becomes a paid for service.
Oh, I see. And can people trade the exchange on some of the local exchanges? I think Altcoin Trader, Luno, for example, is it available there or do they have to come sort of directly to you guys?
Yeah, they have to come to us at the moment. I mean, it is a opportunity for us to get the token listed on these local exchanges, and it would certainly be part of our business strategy going forward. But it really comes down to them also seeing the value in allowing people to transfer these digital assets onto and off of their exchanges. And the Telos blockchain is a fairly complicated beast to integrate into an exchange. So, you know, that again, we would have to probably help them out doing that unless they have that competence themselves. But there isn't anyone doing that or anyone else doing that in the country at the moment.
Oh, I see. And I guess on that particular front, how has the reception been so far? I think before off air you were actually indicating that the coin is already being exchanged and traded. And how do you see that reception so far?
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of excitement from whoever we've spoken to. So you know it's sort of looking good from that perspective in terms of adoption. That's basically the biggest thing that we need to work on going forward. But you know, it's the opportunities and the excitement around this are, you know, we were surprised by the reception that it received when we announced it.
No. It sounds like an interesting one. And another thing that because we've actually spoken to a number of people on cryptocurrency, and one of the big issues that always comes up is the issue of regulation. So can you talk to us about your relationship with regulators, the SARB? Is there any special licensing that you've had to go through, especially since you sort of have to hold people's money in trust?
Yeah, we basically got a legal counsel sorting all of this out for us. And as things stand right now, this is in an unregulated space. So the Reserve Bank doesn't see crypto assets as legal tender. And what that means is it doesn't mean that it's illegal to trade with them. What it means is that it doesn't have all the guarantees and protection that regular money has, and it's not treated in the same legal framework. So it essentially fits into a space that is almost treated as a barter relationship. But yeah, I mean, we have counsel looking at that and working on it on an active basis. I mean, this is an evolving landscape, and what we say today might be different in 6 months' time. But yeah, I mean, we're happy to work with that and basically be involved and form policy if that's needed to make this a success.
And can you talk to us about perhaps your thoughts, just taking it more broadly into what's going on around the world, into Facebook's Libra? How does it differ from what you guys have done? Because they have touted themselves as a stable coin. And do you think that traction or that interest that's actually been garnered through what they are doing might actually help with the visibility of what you guys are doing?
Yeah, I think that what Facebook are doing is good for the crypto market in general, just because they're big and it brings awareness. You know, the negatives from if you think of sort of the crypto world versus what Facebook are doing, your hardcore crypto people would view Facebook as a centralized organization that's controlling this digital currency that they've created. And like the Bitcoin maximalists would run a mile. But, you know, it does play an important role in that it starts to form people's relationship with cryptocurrencies and digital currencies and that sort of stuff. So it's going to build the ecosystem. And I think it's like a natural progression where everything is going digital and, you know, information went digital on the internet. Now money is going digital on blockchain.
No. It's going to be an interesting one. And finally, your expectations just on how big your market could possibly be. What type of benchmarks or goals have you set for yourselves as a company? And what other products are you guys working on as EOS South Africa?
Yeah, I mean, this is something that everyone in South Africa could have on their phone. And, you know, that's the objective is to grow this and grow that sort of adoption. Because of it falling into an unregulated space, you don't need to have sort of go through a whole KYC process to download a digital wallet and have eZAR on your phone. There is a compliance thing required if you're going to buy and sell eZAR. But my perspective, the compliance part is sort of half of the market, and then the rest will just happen. And, you know, it's people doing peer-to-peer stuff that doesn't really need to switch in and out of crypto. And we sort of bring those two worlds together. The opportunities for us when we start looking at small-scale guys that are unbanked or just want the convenience of a digital wallet on their phones, it probably could be used for expats that want to send cash back to their home country. If there's someone on that side that's prepared to deal with eZAR, but there are mechanisms that would allow that to happen with things like exchanges and Bancor and that sort of stuff. So, you know, the opportunity for the Rand to dominate the Southern Africa, eZAR would allow that to happen, where I think that's one of the threats. If we think of something like Facebook's Libra, you could end up in a situation where a foreign US or whatever we want to call it, backed currency starts playing a major role in the SA economy. So this is sort of pushing back in a sense and saying, well, the Rand is still going to have a presence, even though everything's going digital. So I think it's, you know, those are the positives when we think of why we would want a Rand backed stable coin, is it allows the Rand to sort of maintain its influence in this region.
Okay. So that's been us on the line with Rory Mapstone, who is the founder of EOS South Africa. They are a blockchain developer. They make applications and recently launched a stable coin or digital currency that is pegged to the Rand. So basically one token equals to one Rand, and you can interchange between the two, and you can actually go out into the world and make payments and stuff like that, and also go across borders and actually settle your payments that way. And Rory's telling us that it comes in at much lower transaction fees than other types of cryptocurrencies. Now, Rory, I think I should have asked this at the beginning, but as we close off, what is the actual mechanism of how does it actually work? If I've got EZA on my phone and I've got... is there an application for EZA? Where can I actually use the coin? Are there select outlets where I can buy certain things, airtime, electricity, goods, groceries? How does that work?
Yeah, basically the EZA, everything's handled through our website. So it's EZA.co.za. And then there's a separate website that... deals with the wallet we've built. The wallet is called CoolX, and the website is coolx.io. But those are cross-linked. So if you find one of the websites, you'll find the other one. The apps are on the Apple and Google Play Store. And then, I mean, if you talk about all of those value-added services, we're busy negotiating with partners to bring that to market. So that's sort of my life going through the next month or the next year or whatever it is. So, I mean, these are early days, but that's really where we're going with this.
Okay, cool. So as you heard, they have an iOS application. There is an Android application as well. You can, but at the moment, there are two websites. Those websites again, Rory?
It was ezar.coza or co.za. And then coolx.io.
Coolx.io and ezar.co.za. So thank you so much to Rory for joining us on the show. We were talking about stablecoins and cryptocurrencies, and he was telling us about their new stablecoin called EZA that is pegged one-to-one with the Rand. So that's been it for today's show. Thank you so much to everyone who's been listening. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live under the Podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. And remember that also on Twitter, we are hashtag BD Spotlight. And then you can subscribe for free for all our podcasts. That's on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza. And from the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning. Remember that Business Day Spotlight is a multimedia live production.